Well, this is going to be a good day because not just because of our moms, but because Adele and Paul will be baptized. And it's a day of rejoicing for them, but it is also certainly a day of rejoicing for us. And we look forward to that at the end. Now, I want to direct your attention this morning to a number of passages in the book of Acts, beginning in Acts chapter 2. And I want to consider with you, because of the baptism today, the subject of believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. And if you have never considered such a thing, then I pray that you will consider it today. So, first of all, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, the Apostle Peter is preaching. And this is what he says. He says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him," that's Jesus, "both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized. And they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And then if you would turn to chapter 8, Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 34 through 39. "And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this about himself or about someone else?'" He's reading Isaiah 53. "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, Isaiah 53, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing." And then chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 48. Acts chapter 10, 44. "While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised," Jewish believers, that is, "who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, 'Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?' And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." And they asked him to remain for some days. And then, if you will go to chapter 22, Acts chapter 22, and verse 6, Acts chapter 22 and verse 6. This is the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And he says, "As I was on my way," this is 22 verse 6, "as I was on my way and drew near to Damascus about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of the light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. And just thus far, and may the Lord bless to us the reading of his precious word. Let's pray together. Father, how grateful we are and thankful for this day, this Lord's Day, this day when we think on our mothers and the great privilege of what it means to have a mother. We thank you for our moms, but now we thank you for your word, and we thank you for Adele and Paul who desire baptism because they have believed. And we pray as we seek to understand what you say in your word about baptism, that each one of us may be fully convinced in our minds of the truth of your word. Teach us, we pray, this great thing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Every single one of those passages that I read to you in the book of Acts is built upon the foundation of what Jesus said back in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. The foundation for baptism is expressly given in the command found in the Great Commission by the Lord Jesus Christ. When he said these words, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Those are the last words, close enough, that Jesus gave to his disciples. He gave them this great command, this great commission, that they were to take the gospel and they were to go out into the world and they were to proclaim and they were to preach that gospel and make disciples. And a disciple, of course, is someone who learns, and they were to become learners, all these people that receive the gospel. And then he adds that they were to be baptized. We learn immediately from the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ a number of things. For example, we find, number one, that baptism is unquestionably and undeniably the command of Jesus. Go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them. The command of Jesus. Therefore, if that is true, if it is the command of Jesus, it requires, without exception, obedience. It's not that one person can say, well, I don't need that, but I do believe. And another says, well, yes, I do believe I'll be baptized because I believe. No, the command is to go into all the world, preach the gospel, preach the word, make disciples, and baptize those disciples. Unquestionably, undeniably, a command of Jesus. Therefore, very crucial for us to pay attention to. Secondly, it is quite clear in the Great Commission, without exception, that making disciples is always before the act of baptism. It is imperative that you understand this. That the act of making a disciple is always prior to being baptized. And making disciples, as we know, is dependent upon what Jesus actually says in the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, so that the making of disciples and the baptizing of disciples is found within that framework of hearing the word and believing the word. And if you have been baptized, I pray it is because you have truly believed the gospel, have repented of your sins, have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess him as Lord and as Savior. In fact, the Great Commission, when you read Mark's gospel in chapter 16, runs something like this: go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Let everybody hear this word, this command of Jesus. Let everybody believe this gospel, receive this word. Let everybody hear with their ears, repent in their hearts, turn toward God, and believe, have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, and only then, baptize them. It's very important to understand that making a disciple is always prior to the actual act of baptizing. Number three, a disciple is not someone who just hears the gospel. There are many people who hear the gospel, they're not disciples. A disciple is not someone who just hears the gospel, but instead is somebody who believes the good news of Jesus, like that Ethiopian eunuch. So a disciple has not just heard with ears, but has believed. And now confesses the lordship of Christ. And the inescapable conclusion from those three things, the inescapable conclusion from the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that faith always, without exception, precedes baptism. Always, I say, always, without exception, no exceptions. In the Bible, the inescapable conclusion of all that I've been saying and of what the Word teaches us is that faith is always prior to baptism. Now think about what that means. That means we do not baptize those who do not believe. Obviously. Why would you do that? The command of Jesus is to preach the Word, make disciples, and then baptize them. Disciples are those who believe. That's the point. So who do we baptize? We baptize believers. We baptize those who confess Jesus, who make a profession of faith. I think this is the glorious nature of what baptism is. It is a declaration. It is a statement of faith, if you like, by an individual person. I believe the gospel. I believe the good news. I declare by being baptized that I am a believer in Christ. It's a very powerful testimony, isn't it? But it's for disciples. And it's only for disciples. Or to put it another way, it's for believers. And it's only for believers. The Bible teaches, I think, unequivocally, believe and be baptized, right? Believe and be baptized. The idea that you could believe and then not be baptized based on what Jesus says would be false. Make disciples, teach them, baptize them. And so therefore the Bible, in a simple form, if you like, is just simply that: believe and be baptized. It is never, be baptized and then believe. It is never, be baptized first and then you can believe at your leisure. No, it is always, always believe and be baptized. Baptism, therefore, is an evidence, is a fruit, is a declaration, a statement that I do believe. It was July 14, 1974. Some of you were not born. Others of you were long living already. And I was baptized myself by my grandfather in the baptistry. The water was cold, not pleasant. The water is warm, just in case. Adele and Paul need to know that. What a day of rejoicing for me, because I remembered as clear as anything, just like I remember my conversion, which was prior to my baptism. It is never be baptized and then believe. It is always believe and believe something, right? Believe the gospel. Not just believe anything. Not believe that I'm a good person or I'm a righteous person. No, in fact, I do believe that I'm a bad person, saved by grace, by God's grace. And in this saving conversion, God does a remarkable thing. He begins to work on the human heart, and He changes us, and He sanctifies us, and He makes us into the likeness of Christ. And He does that all the way through your life. And when you get baptized, that's what you're showing and declaring, that that process has begun. And it's going to go on, and it's going to go on to the end. So a disciple, according to Jesus, is someone who believes in Christ, who believes the gospel. We say, because the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the word of Christ. So, we need to hear the word. We need to hear the gospel. We need to hear preaching. How shall they hear unless a preacher be sent? We need to hear. And you are hearing this morning, all of you, with your ears. But I pray that you hear with your hearts as well. Disciples are believers because they have heard the gospel. And they have received that gospel. They have received that word. In every single example that I read from you from the book of Acts, every single one of them heard the gospel. Whether it was on the day of Pentecost, or whether it was the Ethiopian eunuch, or whether it was Cornelius, or Saul of Tarsus, they heard the gospel. They believed the gospel. And the moment they believed in the gospel, in Christ, they were disciples. And then, and only then, were they baptized. So baptism is not for anyone. There's a qualification. The qualification is for those who have called upon God, who have turned toward God, who have repented of their sins, and who make a declaration in their confession, in their baptism, that that is exactly what has happened to them. That they have been saved by God's grace, and a work of grace has been done, commenced in their lives. And only then, those are baptized. It's not for everyone and anyone. It's for believers. For believers. The confession of faith is quite clear. It says essentially that baptism is for those actually who profess repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who baptism is for. Some of you may not have repented. Some of you may not believe. Therefore, baptism is not for you until you repent and believe Christ. So when we say these things, you can get the sense that baptism is a very serious thing. It's not a light thing. It's not a foolish thing. It's not just one of the things that we do as a church. It is an ordinance of Christ. It is the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, like the Lord's Supper, absolutely crucial and necessary for us to believe and to observe. And repentance and faith, as you should know, is wrapped up, isn't it, in confessing Christ as Lord and as Savior. So if someone desires or says, I would like to be baptized, the first thing you want to know is, do you believe in Christ? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe the gospel? Go into all the world and preach the gospel, or preach the good news about me, Jesus means. And make disciples. And baptize them. Baptize them. It is a powerful declaration. A witness, if you like, a testimony. Just the act of baptizing in and of itself is a statement, is a declaration. We rejoice in baptisms, don't we? Just like we rejoice when someone says, I do believe. Wow. I believe the gospel. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an occasion for joy. In fact, the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents, believes. So there's something about believing and being baptized that is very biblical, very fundamental, very crucial. So, to believe the gospel, to believe the Great Commission, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, is just simply biblical teaching, doctrine, that we believe, we follow. Number four, there's a consequence to thinking like that and saying those kinds of things, and here it is. We affirm at Bethel, we affirm very strongly, right, that infants are not to be baptized. You know why? Because they cannot confess. We believe very strongly, let me say it again, strongly, that infants are not to be baptized. Number one, it is not the practice of the New Testament. Look at every passage I just read you. They heard the good news, and faith came by hearing, and they believed. And so it is not the practice of the New Testament to teach that there are in those houses, like Cornelius, infants who believe. No, they didn't believe. They cannot believe. But those who were there that did believe, they, and they only, were baptized. Can anyone, Peter says, forbid water from those who have received the Holy Spirit, even as we have, who have believed, who have been born again? Not only that, but we affirm that it is not for infants, not for babies, because they are incapable of making a profession of faith. It's very simple when you think about it, right? So a lot of people have got it wrong. We do not baptize babies because it's not the teaching of the New Testament, and we do not baptize them because they are not capable of making a profession of faith. This morning, you're going to hear professions of faith. You're going to hear it, and you're going to rejoice because you yourselves have made professions, I trust, and a confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no command, therefore, from the lips of Jesus, nor from the disciples, to baptize a baby. None whatsoever. Believe and be baptized. It is never be baptized, and then maybe later you'll be able to give a confession, but you're already baptized. That is not the New Testament pattern or command of Jesus. But I can tell you with all the confidence in the Word of God that there is the direct, explicit command of the Lord Jesus Christ to baptize disciples. And the practice of the New Testament is to baptize believers in the Lord Jesus Himself. In fact, I would go even further. In every single example that I read you, in every single example of baptism in the New Testament, you will discover that you can identify the subjects of baptism. You can say, obviously, on the day of Pentecost, that 3,000 souls were baptized. They believed, and they were baptized. You can say on that road to Gaza with the Ethiopian eunuch that he was baptized because he believed. His eyes were opened by the reading of Isaiah 53 and the explanation, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. When he heard that Isaiah 53 was about Jesus, because that's what Philip said, he believed. He believed. Or you can take Cornelius. What did he do? He believed. So I want to just look at these passages with you shortly, right? In Acts chapter 2, you notice that the Apostle Peter is preaching to a great crowd. These are Jews that have come to worship. And among the crowd are God-fearers, proselytes, those who are not Jews but who believe in the law of Moses. And they are God-fearers, as the New Testament would call them, proselytes. And they're all there from a variety of places. A massive crowd have come. They have gathered together because the Spirit of God has come down and been poured out, and they've heard this noise and wondered at what is happening among them. And then Peter, as he is preaching about Jesus, the Messiah, which they understand, the Messiah, as he's preaching to them, he suddenly calls upon this great vast audience to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent and be baptized. And the Bible tells us exactly what happened to them. They were cut to the heart. What does that mean? They were convicted. They were convicted that they were outside. They were convicted that they were not believers. They were convicted that they were sinful. They heard the gospel from Peter, and they said, remarkably, right? Wouldn't you love to hear this from somebody? What must I do? Like the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Well, Peter told them, right? Believe the good news. Believe in Christ, that He died for your sins. Believe that. And He holds out before them this great promise of salvation. The promise is for you and for your children. And then he makes this other statement. And for all those who are far off, everyone of all of that number that the Lord God calls to himself. Every one of them. Promises for you and your children. What promise? The promise of salvation. Right there. Right in that moment. Believe. Repent. Turn toward God. It's what Peter tells them. And he urged them to be saved. Save yourselves, he says, from this crooked generation. And then you read this remarkable verse, verse 41 of Acts 2. And so those who received his word, okay, what does that mean? They believed. Those who received his word were baptized. And the consequence of those who heard, received the word, and were baptized, 3,000 souls added to the church. Wow, that's the day of Pentecost, right? It's not over when you get baptized, you know. And Acts 2:42 is quite remarkable because after receiving and being baptized, having believed the word that was preached by Peter and being baptized, what did they do? Listen to Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. So they gathered together, and they continued to gather together in the faith that they had expressed as the church. 3,000 souls added to that small band of disciples. In other words, the fruit of their faith was first of all seen in that now they belonged to this body of Christ, this church. So when you get baptized, you don't just walk out and leave and say goodbye and I'm good to go. No, you stay and you worship and you belong and you fellowship together with the church body. You now belong to brothers and sisters, right? So we learn, by the way, that membership in a local church requires believing and being baptized. It's quite simple, really. Easy to see in the New Testament. This is why, by the way, we call baptism believers' baptism, right? It's not just adult baptism, because children also can be baptized, those who believe. It's for believers, believing adults, believing children, and so on. It is for those, as the confession says, who can give a credible profession of faith. I believe. Credo. Do you? If you say, I believe, what do you believe? And that's what we want to hear. Paul and I, we heard Adele, we heard Paul. What do you believe? Well, I believe. And they're quite convinced that they believe. And we were convinced of their profession of faith. A credible profession of faith in Jesus. Well, if Acts chapter 2 has this massive crowd that are baptized, Acts chapter 8 is very different, right? Just one man. One man, an Ethiopian, right? This man, an Ethiopian from Africa. This man who is said to be a eunuch, who is said in the Bible to be an official of Queen Candace, the queen of all the Ethiopians. Not only that, but he was in charge of all her treasury. Wow. This is a serious guy, right? And he's out there on the way in the desert. He's left Jerusalem. But he had come to Jerusalem to worship. That's what Acts chapter 8 tells us. He's a God-fearer. He's probably a proselyte. He's a Gentile, an Ethiopian. And he has come to Jerusalem to worship, probably to attend one of the feasts, to be faithful, to be obedient, to be a good Jewish believer. He has come up to Jerusalem to worship. It's very significant, however, to notice in that text that though he has come to worship God, as you read through the account, he's not a believer in Christ. Because as he reads, sitting in his chariot, that scroll of Isaiah 53, it's confusing to him. And suddenly this man appears, Philip, right? The evangelist appears to him as he's sitting there in his chariot. And Philip hears him reading words from Isaiah 53. And he says to the Ethiopian eunuch, "Do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand that passage?" "How can I? Unless somebody helps me." Can you imagine such an invitation? Man, I'd jump in the chariot straight away, right? I think Philip did. "Yeah, you bet, I'm right in." What an invitation. "How can I unless somebody helps me?" And Philip, no hesitation, right, is in the chariot. And the eunuch wants to know one thing. "Tell me," he says, "who is this that the prophet is speaking of? What's the identity of this person the prophet is speaking? Is it about the prophet? Is it about Isaiah? Or is it about somebody else? Can you tell me? Can you help me?" And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the truth as it is in Jesus. So he preached Jesus to him. He said to that Ethiopian eunuch, "The one who is suffering for sin in Isaiah 53 is the promised Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, who has come, died, buried, and risen from the dead. The Messiah." That's the one. He preached the good news about Jesus. And I'm sure they went on their way and they discussed great things. And suddenly, the eunuch says, "Look, here's water. What is stopping me from being baptized?" Right? That's the question that he asks. You would obviously, if you were sitting next to him, you would want to know one thing. Well, do you believe? Right? That's what you would want to know. You're not going to just say, "Well, look, let's just go down and get baptized." No, wait a minute. Do you believe? And some manuscripts, of course, have verse 37 inserted in our translations, and some do not have verse 37 inserted. But verse 37 goes like this. Philip says, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." There it is. A confession of faith in Christ. "Now you can be baptized." Philip heard it. The Ethiopian eunuch heard the gospel. He believed. And they both got down out of the chariot, got in the water. Philip baptized him. He gets back in the chariot and Philip's gone, right? Can you imagine? But the Bible says he went on his way, what? Rejoicing. Isn't that an amazing experience? He's been baptized, he's been forgiven, he's saved, the gospel has been preached to him, and he has seen what it means, and he's taken it and believed it for himself, and he's been baptized. And he goes on his way rejoicing. I think Ethiopia was never the same after that. You've now got a believer in the palace of the queen in Ethiopia. A true believer who believed and was baptized. Surely we could say from Acts chapter 8, right, that Philip would not have baptized that eunuch if he did not believe. There's no question, right? If that eunuch had said, well, hang on, I don't think I believe all that you're telling me, Philip. Okay, no baptism, because baptism is for believers and only for believers. Okay, so what shall we say about Acts chapter 10? Cornelius, right? I mean, Cornelius is just one man, and he's a man who fears God but does not know the gospel. And an angel visits him and says, send to Joppa and bring Simon. Peter is staying with Simon the tanner, right? And Peter comes and tells him in Acts 10, verse 43, he says about Jesus, to him, to Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. Did you hear it? Everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins in his name. And then, while Peter's still speaking, the Holy Spirit descended, just like the day of Pentecost. But these are not Jews, these are Gentiles, right? Now, it took a little bit of work by God to get Peter to wake up and go to the Gentiles. Because up until that point, don't touch the Gentiles, right? They're unclean. But God had shown him, remember? Don't you call unclean what I have made clean. And he realized that God had sent him to the Gentiles to bring them the good news, the gospel. How did faith come to Cornelius? He heard, and it was confirmed to him by the Spirit of God that he needed to believe this Christ. And he believed. And they all believed, right? Well, the first thing Peter says, the first thing he says in Acts 10:47, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So whatever happened on the day of Pentecost to the 3,000 souls that were added, they believed. Same thing happened to the Gentiles, to Cornelius and his household. They heard, they received the word, they believed. First thing Peter says, baptism. Notice the qualifier. They have received the Spirit just as we have. Same salvation, same receiving of the Spirit. It is almost, I hate to say this, it is almost laughable to say that there are infants in that believing. It's ludicrous to imagine that there are infants in Cornelius' household who were baptized. Because the whole thrust of the passage is they received the Holy Spirit. They believed what Peter preached to them. So here are Gentiles. Gentiles coming to faith in Christ. Then being baptized. Why? Because they had believed. It took me quite a while from when I believed to being baptized, at least 5 years. I was always disturbed when the preacher would say, you need to be baptized. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm thinking about it. No thinking about it, right? If you believe, what doth hinder you from being baptized, right? Nothing, if you believe. So what we have, when you look at all those passages, is that a pattern was being established. Believe and be baptized. But the real question we should maybe ask ourselves is, from the pattern, is what does that actually mean? What does baptism mean, right? First thing we can say is, it's with water. The eunuch said, see, here's water. Well, let me tell you, here's water, right? Because baptism requires water, because it speaks of a cleansing aspect. Water always speaks of a cleansing aspect. It simply symbolizes the preciousness and the blessings of the gospel and the saving response to that gospel that has come to the person who believes. That's why it's a joyful occasion for them. May I stress again, it is always believe and be baptized. Can I say that enough? I don't think so. Believe and be baptized. It is the command of our Lord. It is an ordinance of Jesus. It is therefore sin to refuse if you believe. this command of Jesus. It is the sign of the new covenant. It signifies a relationship in Christ and to Christ that conveys wonderful truths in that new covenant relationship. Number one, it speaks of new fellowship, or a fellowship with Christ. The reality of that salvation that has come to them has placed them into fellowship with Jesus. That's what baptism signifies. That the one who's getting baptized is in fellowship with Christ Jesus. Number two, it speaks of an actual union in Christ, or with Christ, in His death and burial and resurrection. I mean, that's why we practice immersion under the water. Because there's something about that that is reflected in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. For instance, it is into the water, death. It is under the water, burial. It is out of the water, resurrection. I mean, it's just a great picture, right? That's what it is. You under the water, out of the water, union with Christ. What a great picture of a believer who is actually in Christ Jesus. It's a living picture. In fact, the word baptizo means to immerse. It's spoken of materials like this that are dipped in a dye, all the way in and all the way out. It's spoken of sunken ships, shipwrecks under the water. Same word. That's why we practice immersion under the water. Living picture. But it speaks, doesn't union with Christ speak of something else, like the old life is gone and the new life has come? That's what baptism is all about, right? You are saying, Adele and Paul are saying to us and to the rest of the world, if they were gathered here, would be saying one thing: my old life is over and done. I am a new creation in Christ. What does that mean? It means you're saved. It means you're a Christian. It means you are a believer. And if you're a believer, you are believing and you ought to be baptized. Number three, it speaks of forgiveness, right? Not just fellowship with Christ and union in Christ, but the forgiveness of sins. Now, what does that mean? Because it speaks of a washing, of a cleansing away, if you like. But baptism doesn't save you. Baptism cannot save you. Let's be clear about that. Because we have already seen in every single passage that they believed and were baptized. Baptism doesn't save anybody. Baptism is just a declaration, a picture that my sins have been washed away. And they are washed away by the blood of the Lamb shed at the cross. And that is the justifying blood of Jesus that we receive by faith and believe in the merits that He has for us. Isn't this exactly what Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus? See, Acts 22:16. Why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Declare it. Show it. Reveal it. So, baptism is not just fellowship and union and forgiveness of sins, but it is a public display, isn't it? A public declaration that the person being baptized has actually given themselves to God, given themselves to Christ, and from now on they plan to walk in newness of life. It's a public declaration of discipleship, if you like. I belong to Christ. I belong to Christ. So we baptize believers. That's what we do. We baptize believers because baptism in and of itself means that these things to the person who believes them and to no one else but to them means obedience from them to Christ. It means submission to the Lordship of Christ. And it means, I'm telling you, the world, that this is what I declare and believe in Christ as my Lord and Savior. Let me put it to you this way. Every Christian must be baptized. In the early church, It was the practice of people to delay baptism until their deathbeds because there was this idea that if you committed sin, it was washed away by baptism. Therefore, in order to wash away your sins, wait to the last moment, then be baptized, and your sins will be washed away. Are not our sins washed away in the death of the Lord Jesus once for all? Yeah, not by baptism, but by Christ and His blood. I love what Richard Baxter said. Now, the thing about Richard Baxter, he's a Puritan. So I come to Richard Baxter expecting him to say certain things, but he surprised me. He's quoting on the text of the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, and he says this. He says, I profess my conscience is fully satisfied from this text, Matthew 28, that there is one sort of faith only, even saving faith, that must go before baptism. That's what he said.
Wow.
He's right. Because that's exactly what the New Testament says. And when Matthew says that disciples are to be baptized, Mark, in his gospel, calls them believers. Disciples are believers. We reject baptismal regeneration. Baptism does not save anyone. Christ alone saves through his death on the cross. Baptism does not save you. Saves no one. By the way, baptism does not guarantee any salvation. Period. So baptism is for those who confess Christ, who believe this gospel, who are born spirit, who have received the Spirit, regenerated by the Spirit. I think this is why, dear brothers and sisters, we rejoice so much, right? We rejoice when someone becomes a Christian, when someone becomes a believer. That thrills us. And when we see them baptized, we rejoice again. Well, that's exactly what you're going to observe this morning. It's what we're going to see, right? Baptism. And what you're seeing is someone who says, I believe, and therefore I am being baptized. Every time we find baptism in the New Testament, we always find it after conversion, after regeneration, after receiving the Word, after receiving the Holy Spirit, after believing, as disciples, they are baptized. The Bible tells us that Abraham was justified before the sign of circumcision. And all subsequent circumcisions did not save those who were circumcised, because justification is always by faith. Not by faith and circumcision, but by faith alone, just like Abraham. And those who are the seed or the children of Abraham are those who have the same justifying faith as Abraham. So it's always faith that justifies you. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach this gospel, make disciples, and baptize them. What a gospel, right? To have received and believed. Now I would like to ask, do you believe? Do you believe? Because if you believe, you should be baptized. It is the command of Jesus. So let me give you four things in closing. I'm just going to state them. Number one, you have the command, right? The command, baptism, you must be baptized. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize them, right? Must be done. That's the command, baptize them. You have the condition. The condition is believe. Thirdly, you have the character. It is a cleansing. And fourthly, you have a communication. It is a renunciation of the old way and the old life, and everything is now brand new. This is what baptism is. What a great privilege then for us this morning, right, as we come to this time of baptism. Let's pray together. Now, Father, we are so grateful and thankful for your word that has come to us. We thank you for Adele and Paul who desire to be baptized because they have confessed faith in the Lord Jesus. They believe. And we believe. And so we pray, Father, that that your word is clear and has come to us, and we are to be obedient to the scriptures. We desire to be obedient this morning. And so we pray that this may be a testimony and a declaration by Adele and by Paul of the glorious saving power of the gospel and what it means now to be identified as with Christ. And so we look forward to them being baptized, and we commit this baptism to you. And now we pray your blessing upon your word to our own hearts, that we might receive it and that we might believe. So we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Paul is going to come, and he's